Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go racing here at Knoxville.
Only the best go three of
it is showtime at Williams Grove Speedway.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, here at Eldora Speedway, it's showtime.
To sit back, relax, and enjoy, because ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime!
Set to do battle for 30 laps, the green flag is waving.
Hello again, it is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit. Talking sprint car racing, our favorite time of the week, and we are so glad that you have joined us. Steve Post alongside Aaron Evernham. How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Fantastic, doing great.
Yeah,
doing
Daytona good. Was good.
Daytona was good, hot, sweaty, sticky, gross. You walk outside, you went from like nicely cleaned up and showered to gross in like 30 seconds. But this is probably the first time I've ever been to Daytona in the summer. We did not have rain. Did not even have rain impact the two NASCAR races.
Yeah,
they went off as scheduled. So just means we're in for a doozy somewhere down the road.
Yeah, like this week.
Like this week. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, with the hurricane coming through. So, so it was good. Great trip to Daytona. Great time, that's for sure. So all is good. And looks like all is well in the sprint car world. And McCarl won the Knoxville championship. So it was Austin picking up the win. So, like, the stars are aligning. All's right in the world. So,
yeah.
Good stuff. Fun stuff.
Except for we're talking championship.
Yes, I know. Exactly. Yes, I know. It's just not good at all. So, absolutely. Let's get into our Hefter Racing product hot topics, okay? There was a shark attack, not in Daytona Beach, Florida, but in that in North Dakota. I didn't realize they had shark attacks in North Dakota.
Yeah, you know, those rivers and lakes up there.
Oh, you never know. You never know what the Schatz family and all those people are doing up there in those rivers and lakes. It wasn't on the rivers and lakes. It was Rivers City Speedway and Red River Valley Speedway.
Yeah, how about that? Tied it all together
there. Oh, this is audio gold right here. But Logan Schuchart, what a weekend.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. I mean, he always has speed, but whew.
Put it all together.
Yeah.
Friday night, River Cities passed Sheldon, coming with two to go to get the win. A little bit of redemption for him on this one is that a couple years ago, Kyle Larson stole one from him right at the end. So Logan was able to get that one back and get the best of Sheldon. And then they rolled over to Red River Valley Speedway, and there was no late race passing of anything. It was a flag-to-flag win from Logan. So, and he's going to join us here on the program. I cannot believe he has 40 career wins.
No, I was thinking that too when I was reading it. I'm like, 40 career wins. If you think, you know, we always talk about it, but where that team started to where they are now, it's a, if that's not a made-for-movie type of story, I don't know what is.
Yeah, and then the million-dollar win earlier this season.
Yeah, exactly.
19th on the all-time win list for the World of Outlaws, 5th World of Outlaw win this season.
And I think it was the 5th year of winning at least 5, right?
Yeah. Which, that'll add up. That'll get you to 40, but it's like, it's absolutely amazing and so good to see for Logan and Bobby and everybody on that Shark Racing team. So that is cool. Had a good weekend as well. Someone else who had a good weekend was Aaron Reitzel. IRA bumper-to-bumper sprints were at 34 Raceway in the eastern part of Iowa on Friday night, picked up the win. And Saturday night, the season finale at Knoxville, Reitzel picked up his third win of the season and had that baby rolling there. He really did. He was stout. Third win of the season was a $6,000 win. We mentioned Austin McCarl's the track champion there.
And our buddy Chase Randall with the 360 championship.
Chase Randall with the 360 championship, exactly. So that is good stuff out there in Knoxville, and we get to wait until April to see sprint cars at Knoxville again. Isn't that sad?
It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. Michigan, the All-Stars hit the Wolverine State. Zeb Wise picked up his sixth win of the season. It was his second in a row. Picked up the win at Tri-City in Auburn, Michigan on Friday night. So Zeb has got that Rudine 26 car rolling. That's a pretty good combination, and he's done a really, really nice job. Saturday night, though, there was a little sunshine in the air. Tyler Courtney picked up his eighth win at the Butler Battlegrounds, eighth win of the season at Butler Battlegrounds. It was the Mace Thomas Classic. 37 cars showed up. And Todd Buffenbarger, okay, TJ Slideways, he tweeted a little bit about this, and this is a theme that I had talked about a couple years ago, going to Butler, and it wasn't bad. Butler has had a history of being brutal at times. And I went a couple years ago, and it was, okay, this is all right. And TJ had a post on Sunday about a lot of optimism about what's going on at Butler. And we had a little back and forth, and he said, yeah, if you can give him a little blast on Tuesday, I think they'd appreciate it. And I said, how about we do this? How about we bring you on so we can talk about it? TJ's a Michigan guy. And I'll be honest with you, Kendra and I might have had TJ on early in the show, but I don't know. It's been years if we've...
I was going to say, I don't remember. I mean, I've known TJ for a long time.
Yeah, we've all known him.
Yeah.
It's like kind of like I'm thinking, shame on us for not having TJ on the show, because he's like one of those rocks. You know, when we look at the way media in sprint car racing, you've got Alan with hose heads.
Yeah.
And then you had TJ. And then it's all kind of blown up and changed. We started kind of with the podcast stuff and social media, and Jeremy Elliott's doing what he's doing, and Justin Fiedler's doing what he's doing. But, you know, when you look at it, hose heads and TJ Slideways have been there forever.
Yeah. From the beginning.
And Todd just keeps knocking it out. And there's not a finer person on the planet than Todd either. And so it's kind of like after I invited him to be on the show, I'm like, why have we not done this? Why is he not in our rotation, you know, annually?
Yeah,
to get
like
his
a Brad Doty type of.
Yeah, like a Brad Doty. We get Jeremy Elliott on.
Yeah.
TJ, I mean, so I'm glad.
Now
we're starting it. Exactly. And so I'm glad we're having TJ on, and it'll be good to talk about sprint car racing in his home state of Michigan, but then we'll talk some big picture stuff as well. So love it. I really do. I think that is great. Up at Pennsylvania, it was Brent Marks.
Yep.
Speaking of great stuff, Brent Marks is sixth or eighth win of the season. And Jeremy Elliott had a really good piece on the Sprint Car Unlimited about, you know, Brent Marks really isn't having a bad season. The problem is we overlay it from last year.
We're comparing it. Yes.
We're comparing it to last year. So he's rolling along pretty well. Chase Dietz picked up the win in the Kramer Cup, and then Danny Dietrich won at BAPS. And we're gearing up now. The fun stuff in Pennsylvania begins soon. So going to be good. Great stuff. So there you have it. It was a big weekend of racing and maybe a little calm before the storm, because now with the Dirt Classic in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania Month of Money starts this weekend.
Yep.
Kind of a little calm before the storm, but it'll get ramped up and ready to go, and everyone will be screaming and hollering at each other before long.
Well, they already are.
We know that's to be the case. So, and to my knowledge, it was a weekend without Danny Dietrich and Freddie Raymer getting together.
Yeah, so that's new.
Well, put all that money on the line. Stay tuned. And yes, our co-host Ashley is all geeked up because it's Juniata County Fair.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, exactly. It's like...
Is she making pies again?
She's making pies again.
Yeah.
Those people in Juniata County. I mean, they are fair folks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is religion. I mean, I love a fair.
Yeah. But I'm telling you,
and fair food. But these people, they take it to the nth degree, but they have sprint cars at their fair.
Yeah, that's a whole other kind of fair.
That's a whole other life. Exactly. There you have it. Our Hefter Racing products, HRP Hot Topics. HRP knows sprint car racing. Therefore, they know what works best for your team. No other accessory can match the quality, performance, and design. And the top trailer builders use HRP trailer accessories to outfit their stock and custom-built units.
And they're always adding, like, new cordless tool charging stations that are sleek in design, hold two cordless drills, impacts, or flashlights, and the battery chargers. It keeps clutter from your workbench, so the roster includes something for every racer, team, trailer, and shop. So don't settle for anything less than Sprint Car Racing's number one accessories manufacturer.
Yes, indeed. And it's that time of the year where all of a sudden teams are starting to look at the offseason, and we're down to a handful of races left. I've seen some teams point about, we had a good year and we're all done. Now's the time to start to restock. Look at your shop. Look at your trailer. What can you do? And go on HRPRacing.com. HRPRacing.com, and they can help you keep things organized and point in the right direction as you work through this off season. So there you have it, our Hefter Racing product, hot topics. We need to step away. Let's go to the guest line when we come back. The Sage Fruit Hotline, that is. Logan Shuhart from Shark Racing joins us next. The Outlaws are headed back to the Pacific Northwest. Join us for three action-packed nights of racing August 31st, September 1st, and 2nd at Skagit Speedway when the world of outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars return for the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals. Kickoff for the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals begins Wednesday, August 30th with a pre-race party, live band, Sage Fruit Apple giveaways, and more. Then catch Johnny Schatz and the rest of the world of outlaws as they take on Washington's best sprint car drivers Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. Details at SkagitSpeedway.com.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum's newest exhibit will be our track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway inside the museum's main floor from April 3rd through October 2nd this year. You'll learn about the beginning of Williams Grove Speedway and the evolution of sprint car racing on the East Coast through eight of the iconic big cars and sprint cars that made up the history of Mechanic Bird's Pennsylvania's Williams Grove Speedway. Plus, you'll see videos of historic national open sprint car races and other racing events that put Williams Grove on the map. That's the track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway, featured April 3rd through October 2nd at the only museum in the world solely dedicated to sprint car racing, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa.
Welcome back. It is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit. Let's go right to the Sage Fruit Hotline. Joining us fresh off from not one, but two trips to Victory Lane for the World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars from up in North Dakota. Already has made his way over to Skagit in Washington. Logan Shuhart joins us. Hello, Logan. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah, we're all the way in Washington, so it's a nice drive. And had a good drive here and be able to think about two wins, so it's nice.
It's got to be a fun weekend. Not only, I mean, you go in and there's times you'll sweep a place or a weekend, but to go to two different racetracks, two different styles, two different types of things, got to be very rewarding to have the speed at both those places this weekend.
Sure. The River City has kind of always been good to us. I feel like, you know, as far as a points perspective, you want to go to the tracks that you've, you know, had good finishes in the past and kind of capitalize on it. And usually River City is one that we feel good about going to. But, you know, we won there in 2019, a little bit, definitely a different style racetrack that night. It was real dry, slick and slow. And Friday night was really hammered down and really fast. So just nice to get a win. And, you know, at that racetrack, it's a fun one. And to go to Saturday and, you know, a place that, you know, we've kind of been fast there in the past also, never won there before, but, you know, got passed by Donnie with a few laps to go a couple of years ago. But, yeah, two wins on the weekend. It's just really awesome to be able to win two races like that.
Logan, after the race, you talked about, you know, being in the second position, you kind of could see lap traffic. You could see, you know, where you were gaining on the leader. Talk about what that's like. I feel like that's a conversation we have a lot with people who are able to steal the race kind of towards the end of it versus like Saturday night when you led the whole race. Talk about why it's so much almost better to be in the second place for that time being to judge the lap cars, judge your speed. What is it that gives you that advantage being in second almost in those situations?
Well, I feel like a track like Friday, it's, you know, like I said, it was really fast. There's a little bit of a slick spot through the middle of one and two and three and four. And, you know, also you race that racetrack enough that you kind of get a good idea of how the racetrack kind of transitions throughout the night or where the fast lines, you know, feel a little bit better as the race goes on. But, you know, we started third. We actually started fourth, but we got to third right away. And, you know, following Donnie and Sheldon, you know, they're both running the top. It seemed like it was definitely the fastest way around the beginning of the race. But you can kind of start searching a little bit without losing a lot of momentum as long as, you know, you read the racetrack right. And, you know, you don't hit the grease on the bottom of the racetrack or anything like that, but you kind of search without losing a whole lot of ground on them. So you kind of feel things out for later on in the race. And, I was able to get Donnie on a restart, just fired in the bottom as hard as I could. And, he was probably in a little bit of Sheldon's dirty air. So it kind of hurt him a little bit. And then I was able to get by him. And as the race went on, you know, most lap cars are probably on the bottom of the racetrack, but, just trying to search a little bit, you know, I still feel like the top was the fastest way around at the end of the race. But it was also a little treacherous at some point. It kind of drive the left rear of the car and want to throw you towards the wall on the front stretch and, you know, the back stretch with no guardrail. I kind of want to throw you off the racetrack. So, I feel like, you know, when Sheldon felt that way a little bit, maybe at the end of the race, I was able to go to the bottom and show my nose a little bit, just enough to maybe let him think that the bottom was a little bit better. And then when he moved, I was able to go around the outside. So, this is running the car hard. When you're in second, you can run the car so much harder, I feel like, sometimes. And, you know, when you're out front, you don't want to make mistakes. So you get stuck in the position of, you know, not wanting to make too many mistakes, not take as many chances and, be a little conservative, and that can kind of be a double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine. I really can. And Saturday night, when you're leading a race like that, and we have the luxury of watching on Dirt Vision, so we can see margins and everything. Are you kind of, as you're leading it, are you kind of just waiting for something to happen?
Yeah, I felt like I was setting a good pace on Saturday night. The racetrack was really, really good. It was, you know, we've been to Red River Valley, where it's been, you know, kind of eating tires, really slick and kind of abrasive, where you only can really run one line of the track. And last year was the complete opposite. It was kind of hammered down, sort of like Friday night was. But this year they did an awesome job with preparing the racetrack. And it's, you know, as the night went on, you could really, you know, it might've been a little fast in the heat races, but then come dash time and feature time, there was distinct lines throughout the racetrack. And I felt like, you know, our car was so good right out of the box. That start on the pole really was in our favor. You know, as the race went on, I was able to get out in the lead pretty early. And whenever I got to a lap car, they never really slowed me down. I could go to the bottom if I had to get by them. I could run the top of, you know, both corners, really just move around and pick my marks. And even towards the end of the race, I was able to run the middle of three and four. So, just felt really good. And I saw second through fourth there at the end, they were, you know, three wide, you know, coming through three and four to the finish. So, those guys probably felt that way too, but we were able to get a little bit of distance on them throughout the race and, you know, just give ourselves a comfortable lead to get to the finish.
Logan, we talked to James McFadden last week after he had swept two races at Jackson, and he talked about this part of the season. It gets tough. You're past Knoxville. It kind of seems like, you know, you're really into the grind of it. You've got the big West Coast trip coming up. But he talked about how important it was to have those wins and things to be going right and how it kind of pumped the whole team up. Is that something you feel as well?
Yeah. You know, I said a couple weeks ago that I feel like we really put ourselves in a hole as far as the championship standings are concerned. But I just wanted to win as many races that we could throughout the rest of the year and be as consistent as possible, that we can build on something for next year. You know, we're in a really good spot since, you know, winning the million in July, that we can, you know, prepare for next year a lot better than what we normally do with as far as race cars and parts, and, you know, just start looking forward to being in a better spot with engines and really our whole program. But the rest of this year, just focus on winning races, be consistent. And, you know, I just told our guys before the weekend that I wanted to have we seem like we've been up and down lately. You know, one night we'll be on the podium or contending for a win. Next night we're 11th or 12th. So I wanted to, you know, have a consistent weekend, and obviously it couldn't have been any better than what it was. So I'd like to continue doing that. You know, Skagit's been good to us. The only other place that we've swept a weekend was at Skagit. So hopefully that plays in our favor. We can come here and run really well also.
That is so cool. Yeah, it really truly is, for sure. Changes in the Shark Racing camp with Jake stepping aside there a little bit. You've got Tanner Holmes as a teammate. Now, Tanner doesn't have a lot of experience, but Is a change on the teammate, a fresh perspective? How is that blend and how is that balance going as you guys bring Tanner along?
Yeah, Tanner's a great kid. He's, you know, at Knoxville, and they're talking about who to put in the car maybe for the rest of the year. His name came up. We felt like he was a good fit for going to, you know, the West Coast. It's some tracks that he's been familiar with. He's also, you know, owns his own team. You know, it's a family owned car. So, you know, we can relate to that. We felt like he's a gasser. We've watched him race before. He's ran really well. You know, he gasses it up when he needs to, but he also understands, what it's like to own his own car and, you know, hopefully not tear stuff up. So, you know, we realize stuff happens, but, you know, you don't want somebody in there that's careless either. So Tanner seemed like a good fit for the car. Is, you know, we've getting along really well with his family and him. And, yeah, we think he's doing a great job. So, hopefully that, you know, continues when we come out to the West Coast. And, you know, I enjoy having him as a teammate.
Logan, let's talk a little bit more about the West Coast. You mentioned Skagit's been really good to you in the past, but then you guys go down the Gold Cup and hit some other races in California. What is it like this time of the year? I know your girlfriend posted some really nice pictures from somewhere out there in the state of Washington. What is it like this time of year? I mean, not only just the races, but the time you get to maybe do a little sightseeing between the races.
Oh, for sure. This trip from North Dakota to Washington State is the most beautiful drive that we do all year, no doubt. So we look forward to, you know, I'm not somebody that likes being stuck in, you know, sitting down for, you know, 12 hours a day. I'm not used to that. I like going doing stuff or, you know, not sitting down for 12 hours. But if you're going to, this is the nicest drive that we do all year for sure. It's very scenic, very pretty. And I just enjoy the, you know, Pacific Northwest. I think it's awesome being up this part of the country. It's really pretty. So it's fun to be racing out here and be out here at this time of the year.
Yeah, you guys made a lot of good time getting over there. You're over there. It's Tuesday noon Eastern time, and you're already there in Washington. Do you have something specific you like to do when you're there in Skagit? Is there a specific activity or something you really are looking forward to between now and Thursday night when things tee up again?
Well, last year we went to a Motley Crue concert. I don't think we're doing that this year. That was really cool. But no, we'll rent a car. There's some really cool, you know, I like the outdoors. There's some really cool spots just go hiking. So we try to do a little bit of that and just kind of check out the scenery. Like I said, it's one of the coolest spots as far as that goes. But just check out some of that and go hiking. I feel like there's not a better spot to do that than this part of the country.
I'm curious because I have recently started hiking as well. Is the balance of the noise of racing and the quiet of hiking, do you find that a good combination for yourself?
Yeah, I think that's why. So I'm known to be a hunter too. And I tell everybody that talks, I don't need to, you know, I like to just sit out in the woods. That's for me, the, you know, the craziness of racing sometimes, which we all love so much, but to just sit out there and, you know, kind of take in nature and all that stuff. I love that. So you get that with hiking too, just, you know, walking through the woods, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, we were in Phoenix earlier this year for the Cup race. Georgia Henneberry, who does stuff on Flow Racing, she was with us, and we spent the afternoon at Phoenix, and then we went back to the hotel, got us a cover, and went hiking, and 2 hours later, we're in the middle of nowhere where it's peace and quiet. I just find that,
yeah.
I found that fascinating as I've kind of recently discovered hiking as well. That is good stuff, that's for sure. Well, I'll tell you what, Logan, we always appreciate the conversation. We wish you continued success, and thanks for the time joining us this week on Wing Nation.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. Appreciate it.
There we go. Logan Schuhart, that's Shark Racing Dryden, number one S car. Two wins this past weekend. We need to step away. When we come back, TJ Slideways, Todd Buffenbarger. He joins us next. The Outlaws are headed back to the Pacific Northwest. Join us for three action-packed nights of racing August 31st, September 1st, and 2nd at Skagit Speedway when the world of outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars return for the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals. Kickoff for the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals begins Wednesday, August 30th with a pre-race party, live band, Sage Fruit Apple giveaways, and more. Then catch Johnny Schatz and the rest of the world of outlaws as they take on Washington's best sprint car drivers Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. Details at SkagitSpeedway.com.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum's newest exhibit will be our track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway inside the museum's main floor from April 3rd through October 2nd this year. You'll learn about the beginning of Williams Grove Speedway and the evolution of sprint car racing on the East Coast through eight of the iconic big cars and sprint cars that made up the history of Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania's Williams Grove Speedway. Plus, you'll see videos of historic National Open sprint car races and other racing events that put Williams Grove on the map. That's the track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway, featured April 3rd through October 2nd at the only museum in the world solely dedicated to sprint car racing, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa.
Welcome back. It is Wing Nation, presented by Sage Fruit. And as I said at the top of the show, shame on us. Okay, we just talked to Todd, to TJ. We did have him on years ago. So we did have him on one time. I don't know why we don't do it more often. And this is the start of something right here. Todd Buffenbarger, TJ Slideways joins us on the Sage Fruit Hotline. Hello, TJ. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Are you TJ or are you Todd? How does that work?
I go by either one, honestly. Most of the racing people know me as TJ. It just sort of like, this is just poor planning back in 1996. I didn't think I'd still be doing
1996.
So it's kind of crazy. But so I'll answer to either or.
Okay. 1996, we've talked about the lay of the land as far as sprint car media goes. 1996, there wasn't much around as far as sprint car coverage. Where'd you come up with the idea for TJ Slideways, and how did you put that all together?
I was a college kid with a really bad social life, and just had time to kill, to be honest. And I always wanted to write, and I thought, well, this would be a good medium. And at the time, I was a music education major, of all things. I was just getting ready to switch over to IT-related majors and stuff. So it worked out. We, came up with it from scratch and started writing it. It just took fire from there.
TJ, we talk about, your site and hose heads from back in the day. That's like when I first started really racing in sprint cars. That's where you got all your info. How has it been for you to see the whole media platform change with social media and all the chaos that we all live now? But for you, having a website that is so popular, how have you like managed that?
It's been interesting because now I don't have to run around and find spots to do my work. I've worked for quite a while from wherever I was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that's been the biggest change. We've changed a lot of how we cover the races a little bit. Now that mm-hmm. everyone at home is watching, I'm not as anchored to my laptop as I used to be at the racetrack. And we're trying to do some different things coverage-wise, like with the takeaways and kind of going. Actually, almost it's more like the way I covered it back in 1996 or 98, where I'm not so anchored to what's happening every second on the racetrack, and I can go wander around and find some different stories and stuff, because now everyone's watching it on TV. I don't have to do the blow-by-blow updates on social. So mm-hmm. that's been the biggest change probably in the past 4 or 5 years.
It's fascinating. It really truly is. It's just fascinating to see how this thing has evolved and how it's rolled along. All right, so you and I, this conversation started about a place that you have a lot of passion for. I have had a love-hate relationship for the Butler Battlegrounds, Butler Speedway up in Quincy, Michigan. The last time I was there, I'm like, there's a glimmer of good stuff going on here. You were there Saturday night, TJ, and it seems like Tim Wilbur and the gang have things in a really good direction up there at the Battlegrounds.
Well, to be honest, my relationship was very love-hate for a long time, too, with it, to be honest. And because it was frustrating for a long time, because it is our only weekly sprint car venue. And it's important in the whole ecosystem of sprint car racing in the area, not just in Michigan, because it's a place where a lot of younger drivers will go and get laps because they can get them there. And so a lot of people will start their career, and that's right, maybe where they make a feature or two and gain confidence and go someplace else. And it's a place where you see cars that you really don't see anywhere else. So it had been in decline for a significant amount of time. I mean, it kind of peaked when the All-Stars made their last visit 2016 there. It was not a good experience for everybody, and they did not come back until this year. But last year, Tim Wilbur got the track. It's the rumblings of this kind of started in late 2021, and things started kind of progressing there, and had conversations with Tim, and they got it really late. They've only really had one full off season with this racetrack. And I would be hard pressed to find someone that's made as big of a turnaround with a racing facility as they have.
That is exciting. It really, truly is. And really, Tim, when you look at him, he's just a local businessman with a passion for it, right?
Well, I would, he's, that family, the Wilbur family, has the multiple generation racers okay. out of that area. And they live right around the racetrack there. Every one of their businesses are run with the highest of quality. I mean, they are great at what they do, and they run the racetrack just like that. They took it on just like it was another one of their businesses. Everything's done the right way. Tim's just, I think if someone else had tried to take that on, it would have taken longer, because not only does Tim know the racing business, but he knew the ins and outs of what goes on there probably as well as anybody. So he not only knew the pain points, but knew the finer details of them. So he knew right away what to jump into and start fixing over there. And I mean, when I walked in there last year, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Like, it was amazing, the turnaround. And I wrote about it, and that article seemed to really catch fire. And by the time I got to Eldora in September, the All-Stars were asking me questions about it, considering a return to the facility.
TJ, for us that live in North Carolina, what are some of the improvements? Obviously, they were physical, because you talked about the appearance, but obviously management and running the whole show, all of those things, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, we were actually sitting around the pit area talking how we were disappointed that we were only done by 11 there on Saturday night. And I was like, wait a minute, guys, think about this. We're talking about 11 o'clock at this place, where we used to be out at 1 or 2 in the morning. So, I mean, it was, you know, everything from the programs run, obviously, you know, freshening up everything, new bleacher boards, fresh coats of paint. One of the best things that hasn't gotten a lot of attention, they widened the racetrack 12 feet on the bottom. They brought the thing in 12 feet on the bottom and put in a berm instead of those famous tractor tires. You know, Aaron, how much all racers love tractor tires, right?
Yeah.
So they actually went with the berm. And I think it was proof in the racing. I mean, if you look where the top three finished, I believe that the winner was started fifth, and then everyone else was right around 9th through 10th, where they started on the podium, which that is almost unheard of at that place for a race like that.
Yeah.
You mentioned in the post that triggered this conversation, the race was the Mace Thomas Classic. 37 cars showed up there, and you had indicated that, and again, we don't want to get the cart in front of the horse here, but you had indicated that this race may have found a home and we may be onto something. What's the story with the Mace Thomas Classic and just where this has been and why you feel so much positive energy going forward with this one?
Well, Paul Smith's a driving force in this. Paul's the one that actually kind of got it going. They had it for a couple of years at I-96. It was starting to get some momentum, but they brought it to Butler. And I mean, I think it will find a home there. It really will. I mean, it seemed like there's a lot of energy around it. Mace obviously was a renowned car owner in the area for many years that fielded super modified sprint cars. Actually fielded the car that won the first Williams Grove National Open with Gordon Johncock driving. So for all those Posse fans, yeah, we won the first one, just so you know. We haven't had a lot of sprint car races in the area tied back to the history of the sport here at a facility with a long history, with expanded payoff, obviously with the $8,500 to win. And what seems to be garnering a lot of attention is the 6'1" trophy handed out on Saturday night. I've never led a story with how the winner was going to get the trophy home, but the trophy is 6'1", and this one was over 100 pounds.
Wow.
Whoa, wait a minute.
See, I love that. Us racers, we love a good trophy.
See, racers love trophies.
Remember, I was ready to hop in the monster truck because of the trophies?
Yeah, because of the trophies. But, okay, a 6'1" trophy is one thing, but it weighs that weight. That means it's not just one of these plastic trophies that were picked up.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
That sounds like the real, that's the real McCoy.
Hand, handcrafted wood, handcrafted metal, and actually a fun story, they usually chrome the large metal part of the trophy, and they actually had some issues with the chrome finish, and Paul and everyone else involved in the race weren't real happy with it. So the night before the race, they started scuffing up the finish on it, and they actually powder coated it the day of the race. Talk about last minute prep to get it in there. So he was apologizing to Tyler Courtney for the trophy. It's like, sorry, it's not as big as the first one he won. But I've never, like I said, I've never won a story. And first question, Tyler, I'm like, this is going to sound weird, but how are you going to get this thing home? And luckily he had won the race before, so they had a plan in place to already get it there.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. That is awesome. TJ, before we cut you loose, you do a lot of coverage beyond your home state of Michigan there. You were at Eldora for the Million and the Kings Royal. Of course, you're always at Knoxville. Kind of your vision, the state of sprint car racing, pros, cons, concerns. What's your take on where we're at here as we're into the final third, which I can't even believe we're saying, the final third of the 2023 year?
As far as this year, you know, I think there's something we have to pay attention more on the local racing scene, at least in the local regional area, that at the end of the day, for that level of racing, there has to be a degree of fun involved. And it's not just with the racers either. It's like the officials and everyone operating these series. Because when you get down to that level, it has to be fun for everyone involved. You have to enjoy who you're working with, who you're racing with, whatever. And I think that has as much to do with the success of a local weekly racetrack or a regional series. And I think some people miss the boat on that a little bit. And if you look, I guarantee you that you find every one of these places that is going well, whether it's a regional sprint car series of any engine displacement or whatever track it is, those people are not only, you know, like enjoying the racing and everything that's going on, they're having fun doing it. I think the fun factor has to have a little more focus, especially at that level.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating you say that, because I'm sitting here thinking about a couple weeks ago, I went to a USCS show down at Traveler's Rest, and there ain't nobody there making much money, you know, and that sort of thing. But everybody there was having a really good time. And that's a really, your point is interesting, because my most recent race, I thought about how, you know, Terry Gray and Lance Moss and we're here, but we're having a good time and just enjoying sprint car racing for what it is. I think that's awesome. I think it's great.
I mean, if you're going to find volunteers to run these series and such, I mean, you have to have a better hope for the outcome of the night than the, I hope I don't get yelled at by somebody, right? Mm-hmm. And without those people, these things don't happen. But also, it's like with the racers, too. If the experience isn't fun, why am I spending all this money doing this? So
yeah. Yeah.
It's something I think that at certain places we need to focus on a little bit more.
Yeah, because that level, you're not making money. You're spending money at that level. That's a great, great point. TJ, we're not going to wait another 10, 12 years to do this again. We appreciate the time, and we'll dial you up again real soon. But thanks for sharing your story, the Butler story, and everything else with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, everybody. And the next big thing we're going to be doing, I'm making my first trip to the Tuscarora 50. So I'm looking forward. My flight goes to Pennsylvania on Thursday. I'm looking forward to hanging out with the posse for a weekend.
Well, and you're at the fair, so you got to go to the Lutheran Church stand.
It's already booked.
It's already booked.
That's the first thing I checked out.
Yeah, I figured that. Okay, I'm not new here. I should know better than those stupid comments, like telling TJ where we need to go for the good stuff. But make sure you catch up with Ashley when you get up there, just to say hey. And but we appreciate your time, and you're gonna love the Tuscarora 50. It's a great one.
I am looking forward. It's great to visit both of you, and hopefully we see you down the road here pretty soon.
I hope we do too as well. That sounds good. TJ Slideways, thanks again, man.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
You got it. TJSlideways.com. Folks, just log it right in. Put it on your daily check-in. That's a daily check-in. And as you can tell, what passion.
Yes.
What absolute passion.
For what
Todd
going
has.
On 30 years.
My God. I mean, we get twisted up about this little thing and that little thing, and he's been slugging it out since 1996.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
and
met
to
him
his
early
point
2000s.
About having fun, he's having, I mean, when he goes to the racetrack, he's a ball. I love walking into a media room or a racetrack and seeing TJ there, because I know we're going to have a good laugh or two. Great, great stuff. Man, oh man, I love it, that's for sure. We need to step away. More Wing Nation in just a moment. The Outlaw.
Outlaws are headed back to the Pacific Northwest. Join us for three action-packed nights of racing August 31st, September 1st, and 2nd at Skagit Speedway when the world of outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars return for the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals. Kickoff for the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals begins Wednesday, August 30th with a pre-race party, live band, Sage Fruit Apple giveaways, and more. Then catch Johnny Schatz and the rest of the world of outlaws as they take on Washington's best sprint car drivers Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. Details at SkagitSpeedway.com.
Welcome back. It is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit. And let's get into our birthday calendar because, well, it's a buddy. It's a friend. Okay, later this week, Gary Sokola, Jim Culbert, Robert Huffman, Harold Red Lampelius, and Roger Rager. Today, George Nestler. But today is the birthday of Brad Knopfsinger. You know Brad Knopfsinger?
I know Brad Knopfsinger. Of course I do. Everyone knows Brad.
Who doesn't know Brad Knopfsinger? Class of 2023, he started riding motocross at age 10. By age 16, he was the Super Midget Rookie of the Year at Ascot. As the career went on, he spent a little time in NASCAR. He had 50 wins in the CRA, 1986, 1987 championship, multiple track records at different tracks, but just a character.
Oh, yeah.
Just an absolute character. I mean, you are going to have a good time when you walk into Brad Knopfsinger.
And I feel like I bump into him at the most random racetrack.
Yeah, because he lives here in Concord.
Yeah, but like, you know, it could be, I could be an Indy and you bump into him, or you could be at Millbridge or out at the, like, it's just like when you don't expect, you're like, oh, hey.
My Cabarrus Brewing Run Club, we run right past his house.
Oh.
So he sits in there and laughs about me running out there. You know, I mean, the last time I was at Millbridge, I walk up at the trailer because he's out there at Millbridge all the time. And I walk up to his trailer and we're talking and I had a Brent Keating shirt on, you know, and we're standing there and all of a sudden he just kind of stops. He says, "That's a Brent Keating shirt." And I didn't really, you grab a shirt out, you don't think about it. I said, yeah. And then he went on to tell me that he believes that Brent Keating is maybe the single best sprint car driver and most underrated sprint car driver in the history of. And I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. That is cool. Yeah, I remember the one time I'm out there, I saw Brad Knopfsinger and Billy Wilburn hanging out at Millbridge. I'm like, man, stories they could tell there.
Yeah, Brad, he helped me a lot when I first got, I did a little USAC Silver Crown racing. And, you know, they're not always the friendliest when you come into that level. Yeah. And Brad was very helpful. So I've always been appreciative.
One of my favorites was at World Finals. Brad Knopfsinger and Fred Raymer are telling stories.
Oh, boy. Now you talk stories.
Now you're talking stories.
You have Fred Raymer in there with him.
Yeah. I love it. I just so appreciate that. I so appreciate guys like Brad that are the reason we get to do what we do, the reason the racers get to do what they do, and for him to stay just as active and passionate and fun-loving and I have huge respect for guys like Brad, and today's his birthday, and we're celebrating on the birthday calendar. So you can become a member, a supporting member of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, only $25. You get a chance to get there. I know Knoxville is wrapped up. I think they have the late model nationals coming up, but go see the salute to Williams Grove Speedway that is there. That $25 gets you $25 membership, gets you free admission to the museum and 10% discount on all museum store items. So World of Outlaw and NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars are headed west. The Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals. Man, this is going to be epic.
Yeah.
Wednesday night, Fan Fest party from 5 to 8. Drivers, barbecue, music, Sage Fruit Kid Zones, and Aaron Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Woo!
Batting down the hatches. They're going to be writing some checks up there.
They really are. Thursday and Friday night, $10,000 to win, and Saturday, $26,000 to win.
No doubt about it. The last six Skagit Nationals have been won by six different drivers. J-Mac, Brad Sweet, Carson Macedo, Logan Schuart talked about sweeping there, Sheldon Hodenshield, and David Gravel. World of Outlaws moved then Sunday and Monday, the Labor Day weekend, Grays Harbor Speedway, and also up there in the state of Washington. I love this. This, to me, the All-Stars are all over the place, which is great. They were in Michigan last week. They've been to, but man, when they roll in for a Friday and Saturday night special at Attica, it just does not get any better than that.
That's their bread and butter.
Bread and butter, and you don't know if the All-Stars are going to be running for 1 through 3 or 8 through 10.
Very true.
Very true there. With $12,000 on the line, it's the Attica Ambush this weekend. Central Pennsylvania, Aaron. Oh, it's going to be fabulous. It's going to be fabulous.
Yep. The Dirt Classic, it starts on Saturday with a kickoff to the Classic, $10,000 to win. And Sunday, the Dirt Classic, $20,000 to win.
Boy, I saw Jeremy Elliott had an interview with Freddie Raymer. Freddie struggled this past Saturday night. He finished second. He had a bad night.
He had
five wins in a row.
Wow.
So he struggled, but I have a hunch Freddie's looking at 10 grand and 20 grand.
Stays out of the drama.
Yeah, exactly. And well, there we go. There we go. We'll have that for sure. Fun stuff. And the fun stuff up in Pennsylvania also. Saturday night is the kickoff night of racing, the Juniata County Fair. Monday, the 72nd annual Foss Jewelers of Lewistown Labor Day Classic. Afternoon racing.
I like that.
At Port Royal.
It's just like one track that it seems that they can pull off the afternoon racing.
Steve Steimle can make that thing work.
Yeah, it's really a hard thing to do, and he makes it work.
Yeah. It is, you know, I mean, we started the show, we talked about it, we're bummed because we're talking about championships, but boy, this next month, this World of Outlaw Point battle we have is phenomenal. Okay. Now Bradley's starting to
check out
become Brad, ruin everything. No, I mean, it's like we're seeing David will have a struggle, then Carson will have a struggle, then David will have a struggle. And then they're another 12 points high, and Brad just keeps boom, boom,
picking
boom,
away.
Boom,
yep.
Boom. Brad Sweet is just phenomenal where he's at right now. Just phenomenal. I mean, it's fun to watch excellence, and we get to see it with Brad, especially when you have David and Carson and then Logan and the next tier of drivers.
Yep. Donnie.
They are throwing everything at Brad, and he's just like, okay, I'll finish second.
Yeah.
I'll finish third. I'll go ahead and win the race. I'll see you up there on the podium. We'll all get a picture made. And someone else decides to win. I'll see you up there on the podium. The guy is amazing. And it's going to be a fun fall season because they also roll into Pennsylvania for a weekend at Williams Grove and a weekend at Port. So it's all really, really good. The month of money in Pennsylvania up there at, with the Tuscarora 50. I love that TJ's going to the Tuscarora 50.
Me too.
Man, it just means we get more good coverage from there, too, because he does such a great job. Fun stuff. Fun show.
It was a fun show.
Yeah, Logan Shuhart and Todd Buffenbarger, TJ Slideways, joining us on the program. So, fun stuff. And let's see, the Labor Day weekend show. Man, oh, man. Oof. That doesn't seem possible.
That really doesn't.
Going to Darlington, we're going to see if one of our sprint car guys, maybe Larson or Bell or someone like that, can our Stenhouse can start toward a cup championship. Start with the Southern 500. Man, I am telling you, I know that sprint car people like sprint car racing. That's like a duh. 25 lap, 30 lap features. But I am telling you, there is a challenge of 500 miles at Darlington.
Darlington of all places.
There is a challenge of that. Now, I'm telling you, that place is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. So
I wish I got to race there. The trucks didn't go there.
Trucks didn't? Oh, that's right. Yeah. When you were part of because that place, boy, I'm telling you, that place, you can be a combination of Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., Kevin Harvick, the best guys we have right now. You can be that combination, and you can roll into one of those corners, and you swear the wall just whaps you. You don't even know what happened. That's how that place
is. I hate when that happens.
Oh, that place is just brutal on everybody. Yeah. And boy, somebody on Sunday night's going to hoist a trophy that means the world to them.
Yep.
So that's what's fun about it. And we'll see that with sprint car racing. The tough ones are the big ones, and that's what we got.
Yep.
So it's going to be awesome. It'll be an awesome weekend and awesome month of September, that is for sure. So with that, we're going to get on out of here. Again, we appreciate Logan and Todd joining us here on the program. More important, coming up, speaking of Washington, man, I love this one too. We talk on our TV show with Trey Starks.
The Washingtonian?
Yes. Oh, yes. Ashley's created a new word, which might create a new T-shirt. Which is, you've got to tune into our TV show to find out what she's talking about. Rev TV Wednesday night, Mav TV on Friday afternoon. Our guest is Trey Starks. Love the Trey Starks story, you know, too. We had talked to him a year or two ago, you and I did, and that's continued to evolve. And now it's like he didn't run from sprint car racing. He ran to a family business that he needed to be part of, and sprint car racing, 410 sprint car racing is running to him now.
Yeah.
And man, he's like living right and living large. Got five wins, and he wouldn't mind win number six this weekend.
Yeah.
A Sage Fruits Gadget Nationals. So, yeah, Trey Starks is our guest. All right, back to the close. We do appreciate our guests joining us here on the program, but more important than all of that, thank you for joining us this time here on Wing Nation, presented by Sage Fruit.
Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide. Napa!